We have a limited amount of time with our friend Bill Ryder, evening host on CBS Sports Radio in the heart of New York City. So we'll head right out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Hello, Bill.
Hello, gentlemen. What's going on?
Always enjoy talking with you. I wanted to jump into this because we had Brian Geltzeiler on in the 2 o'clock hour, and I forgot to ask him, and I meant to do this. Max Kellerman got my attention yesterday, and you've covered LeBron for a while. Max Kellerman got my attention. He said he could see a scenario where LeBron returns to Miami. Could you see that?
It's funny. I will preface this with I don't think it will happen, and neither does Las Vegas and the fine folks who put these props together. However, when Dwayne Wade got traded, it did creep into the back of my mind. Wouldn't it be something if Wade's final finale, his final mark of excellence as a member of the only team he ever should have played for, the Miami Heat, is actually being the ambassador, the bridge back between LeBron and Riley? I think it's a fantasy. But it creeped into my mind, too, and I think it's LeBron, the heart of LeBron James and the basketball machinations of his legacy are hard things to guess at. We saw that when he went to Miami. We saw that when he went back to Cleveland. So while I don't think it's going to happen, it is something that's been percolated in my gray matter as well.
Because I guess that's one of the things that Kellerman says is that LeBron, the notion of him being a mercenary or a gun for hire is kind of muted if really the only two teams he ever ends up playing for are Cleveland and Miami.
Yeah, here's what I think. Here's where I think the Heat have something going against it. I think that LeBron, ironically, I don't think he's going to stay in Cleveland. I know a lot of people are starting to think that. I think it's a Dan Gilbert issue, not an anything else issue. However, ironically, it's a paradox, but I think that how Cleveland does this year will dictate where he goes, even though it's going to be somewhere else, because I'm a big believer that LeBron understands, even though he can never be perfect in the finals, if he makes 10 or 12 or 14 consecutive NBA finals, I think it mutes a lot of that criticism. I think it becomes its own weapon in that argument, that fight between pro-Jordan and pro-LeBron people years after LeBron steps away. And so if I'm LeBron, and it's a big if the Cavs make the finals this year, I think you stay in the Eastern Conference because of the Warriors, but you look around to young teams that can carry LeBron when he starts to fade. I think Philly is a lot more likely team than the Heat as it relates to how they're constructed right now.
Hey, you kind of hit on it there. I was going to ask you the factors that go into – I don't think LeBron's staying in Cleveland. I'm with you. But what are the factors? I know he wants to win, but does he want to play with friends? They talked about that banana boat crew. Does he want to play with young guys? Like it seems like they're bringing a lot of young guys in. What are the factors that go into LeBron's decision?
So I'll preface it with all those things, and obviously we don't know. But as I've thought about the Heat as an interesting dark horse candidate, I've also wondered if maybe this experience with Dwayne Wade, who's a friend but not a friend who played at the same level as LeBron was accustomed to in Miami, and while Derrick Rose and LeBron weren't friends, LeBron clearly was attracted to the idea of a former MVP and this notion of veterans. I wonder if maybe LeBron's off that a little bit, right? The whole banana boat crew. It's like, have you guys ever traveled to Europe with friends? Sometimes you come back and you're no longer friends. It's a different thing.
You can do that with your wife as well. Sometimes you travel with your wife and you're no longer friends.
Luckily, she still likes me. We aren't even there. We discovered that real quickly. I think that we'll see. I mean, LeBron's a moody guy. You guys know it. I know it. And he's worth all the moodiness because of how talented he is. We're two games in, but LeBron looks real good with these young guys. Now, we'll see what's going on in April or May or June. But I think there's a real chance playing with these young players, being around guys who know their lane, being around guys who say things like, he's Batman, will be Robin, right? That kind of, I don't know if it's sycophancy or what it is, but it's music to LeBron's ears. I think there's a chance it will entice LeBron to reconsider what he wants, and he may look at Chris Paul and James Harden a lot, even a Paul George, a lot differently if this honeymoon period with young players who look up to him, or at least pretend to, if it continues.
Bill Ryder from CBS Sports Radio is with us. Do you think LeBron has any leanings yet towards what he's going to be doing in the offseason?
Yes, I do, but I think LeBron also will change his mind, right? To use a poor analogy, if you're the homecoming king and you're not really sure who you're going to take to homecoming, but you sort of thought about it when you passed ladies in the hallway, that's LeBron. I have no doubt he has sized up various teams. I have no doubt he's thought about various teams. He probably has a list in his mind that is somewhere in the 4 to 8 range. But I do believe that it'll depend on some factors that aren't quite set yet, and I think that he will take his time when he's done with his NBA season, whether it happens in May or June, and really think about it deeply. And a lot of guys say, I have to get with my team and my staff. I mean, LeBron, I think, means it. He cares about his legacy. He's an entrepreneur as it relates to his desire to create a Hollywood media empire. He doesn't own, but Clutch Sports, his agency, quote-unquote, that represents him, is really something he'll run when his playing days are over. I think there will be a lot of factors that are important to him, and I do think he'll take time to analyze what, at least right now, is probably more of a gut instinct.
Dwayne Wade back to the Miami Heat. Does that make them a better basketball team?
I don't know. It's real. I was just talking to a guy about this today. It felt good. And I loved my time in Miami, even if Miami didn't love me back during that year. But I'm not a Heat fan, and I got goosebumps when he stepped on the floor, right? And I've watched that clip a couple times. And certainly, like, they played well. Was it Toronto last night? I mean, that's a tough game.
They hung
well
with them. They were in it till the end.
Yeah, came back. Toronto's good. I mean, Wade had a fine game. I think the answer is probably yes in a very significant way, but not the way that we're accustomed to. You know, humility is one of those really difficult teachers, and I think, you know, Dwayne's probably been humbled a little bit, right? Guy that played with a chip on his shoulder, and for years, people, myself included, mistakenly said age had caught up to him, and they were wrong. Well, age eventually you get right on that, and it has. And I would imagine he will be a strong and important force for that culture. So I think they'll be better. But Dwayne Wade from 2012 isn't walking through any door anytime soon, not even in Miami.
Bill, I was going to ask you about that. Like the mentor and the leader and all that, if you can't make buckets, if you can't score and assist and rebound, like what does that leadership or mentorship really mean to a team? Is it that big?
I think it is. And I think the Heat are the perfect example of that. Like, not to disrespect your market or your team, but you guys don't – that organization is not bursting with all-stars right now. It's not bursting with superstar players, and yet they're consistently in games. They're a playoff team. There's a reason that Spoelstra last year was, I think, what, co-coach of the year, if I remember correctly, and this year should be in the conversation. A lot of it's culture. A lot of it's getting guys to play defense and getting guys to buy in, and obviously Pat Riley is in the all-time Hall of Fame on the wall of the greats in terms of creating that, and Spoelstra knows what he's doing and has adopted the same thing. But when you have a future first ballot Hall of Famer who's a part of that mix and can add to it and can make sure guys stay intense and focused and, you know, for lack of a better term, the Heat way, like the Patriots way up in Foxborough, yeah, I think it can be significant.
You know, you mentioned Riley there. When we were talking with Geltzeiler earlier in the show, we were talking about the Heat and what their shortcomings were and how Dwayne Wade might end up helping them. And someone texted in, when do we start holding Pat Riley accountable for the state of this team, what he's done in a long time? I don't even give him credit for bringing LeBron in. Now, and then goes on to say he didn't keep him here either. Now, I this might be, you know, a disgruntled New York fan that's texting in because there's still a lot of anger there. But is there anything to that? Is there anything to the notion that Pat Riley has not assembled the greatest teams as of late?
Yes, there is. I think it's a legitimate criticism, and I think that you take it like it's very similar to LeBron James. Are those guys egomaniacs? Yes. Is it their way or the highway? Yes. Does that lead to situations where other people might make better decisions? Probably. You're still getting championships you never would have gotten if you didn't have LeBron as your team, Riley running your front office. So if I'm a Heat fan, as much as there's probably some truth in that, the guy has earned the right to have quote-unquote down years, and this is the price. Some of this frustration is the price of the greatness that has defined that organization for a very long time. Just like LeBron James is the worst general manager we've ever seen, but it's worth the pain because you get a championship in Cleveland you never would have gotten.
Bill Ryder, CBS Sports Radio, we're going to let you go. I know you've got to go early, and we're kind of monitoring a tragic situation here in South Florida that seems to be getting uglier as our time goes on. I was trying to ignore it, but there's a shooting at a school here locally, and it looks like it's getting worse and worse. So anyway, we're going to let you go so that we can try to figure out what is going on here. Thank you, Bill.
Well, thoughts and prayers down there.
Thank you,
guys.
Thank you.